It's 8:06 at Community Radio, KOZI, Thursday morning. Hi, it's Jeff Conwell here. Thank you so much for listening. We've got so much going on this morning. We're going to try to pack it all in. But right now, time for a community connection brought to you by Coldwell Banker Lakeland Properties, the leading real estate firm in Central Washington. And joining us this morning on the phone, we have 12th District State Senator, that is, Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Senator. Good to have you.
Morning, Jeff. Good to be with you, and good morning to you and all the KOZI listeners.
I know you've got a packed schedule today. This is, if I'm counting right, the fourth annual listening tour.
Yes, I'm really excited about it. You know, the listening tour was something I had started soon after I got elected to the Senate, and I've served for 4 years now, so this is my fourth annual. But it just started off with, hey, you know, I want to spend a couple days, travel around the district. We have four counties in our district. I want to hear from everybody. I want to make sure everybody feels like they're being heard and being represented. And I set it up so that it would take place at the beginning of the session, just basically leading up to the session, either in the fall or around this time, and really put me in a position to go over into the arena in Olympia to advocate on the behalf of the people who elect me, because I believe these positions exist to serve the people who elect you, and I also believe that too many politicians or elected officials, you know, think that speaking is their most important skill set, and the reality is being a good listener is something that I've found to be the most important thing for me as a policymaker.
Yeah, and today you're doing it a little bit different. Fill us in how that's all going to work.
Yeah, it's going to all be virtual this year. You know, I didn't want to break my streak. You know, I had this idea, like, what if I someday, if I serve for 25 years in the state senate, I mean, I'm kind of younger on the spectrum for state senators, so like, maybe, you know, maybe I could, and it would be cool to someday be, this is the 25th annual listening tour. So I didn't want to break my streak because of the pandemic, so we decided to make it all virtual. So we've set up Zoom meetings for group appointments, and we have those scheduled all throughout the day where different groups wanted to meet with me wherever they were to gather together over Zoom, the new technology, to participate in these meetings. Plus, we also set up two virtual community meetings, and so those take place at 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock p.m. today, and they'll each last for about 1 hour. And everybody's invited to those. The information for how people can join is on my website, which is senatorbradhawkins.org. And my listening tour is the first thing that kind of prominently is featured with the information. So for the 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock meetings, if people want to participate, go onto my website, senatorbradhawkins.org, gather the information, the Zoom links. If you want to participate over the phone, we wanted to provide that option too, so we have a traditional conference call line and a passcode that you would need to enter if you want to participate over the phone. So I just wanted to make it as technologically friendly as possible so that we could make sure we get a chance to hear people's thoughts and concerns about state government.
Senator, when you do these listening tours, what kind of feedback are you getting from your constituents?
Well, it's been really interesting, and it ranges. You know, sometimes it varies. You know, last year, for example, affordable housing was a really hot topic. Prior to that, wildfire response. But really, it varies. You know, I've actually received some constituent requests, bill ideas that I translated into legislation that ended up making its way all the way through the legislative process and was signed into law by the governor. There was an idea brought to me by the city of Leavenworth officials related to disposing of their brush and yard waste, and I was able to get that done in state law, you know, as a result of something they brought to me during the listening tour. You know, there's other issues. We had a Methow Valley, maybe he's listening today, but we had a Methow Valley resident who came up to me in Winthrop for one of the meetings, and he shared with me that he had a really popular fishing location for winter fishing. It's called Leader Lake out there in Okanagan County in the 12th District. And he said there were issues getting the road plowed in the winter, and plus the road was all damaged and stuff. And so I reached out to WDFW. I reached out to the Department of Natural Resources that operates this lake. And turns out it wasn't getting plowed because the road was so damaged. So we needed to get a little something in the budget to repair that road so that we can maintain this popular fishing access, and we were able to do that. We were able to get that in the budget. And there have been probably a few other examples of things like that that came from the listening tour that actually translated into either legislation or budget items. But, you know, a lot of the feedback, Jeff, is really just people that have thoughts and concerns or ideas that I can take with me and sort of store mentally with me to help me do my job better in representing them.
Mm-hmm. And again, those listening campaigns will happen at 3 and 7 this afternoon.
Right. The listening tour today, since we've been publicizing it for quite a while, is actually all day long with a lot of appointments. But I'm already actually fully loaded for those. But we do have two community meetings at 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock. So I wanted to give everybody an opportunity to participate based on their busy schedules. Maybe 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. is going to work for some families, and maybe, you know, for businesses and business people, you know, jumping in at 3 o'clock is better. So I wanted to create some variety, and all that information is available on my website. And, you know, what's also cool is we're bringing staff members. Usually I bring staff members from Olympia and issue specialists to my district here to travel around with me to help answer questions or to research concerns that they may have and get back to them. We can't do that this time, but we're having people, the staff members and issue specialists from Olympia, participate with us virtually during the community meetings. So that's one of the things that I think constituents who have participated in my listening tours in the past have really appreciated and actually been surprised by is the level of response that we're able to spring into action. If they have questions or need things resolved, we're able to kind of get to work almost that day. And if we don't have the answers for them, you know, we can we follow up with them some days later. But hopefully we can get their questions answered if they have them today. But if not, we will endeavor to get those answers and follow up with people. So it's a good opportunity.
Tracy Ellis, a reporter in Olympia, shared with us today, you have a new assignment with the Transportation Committee. Tell us a little bit about what that involves.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited. So the committee assignments just came out. I'm serving on three committees. The Transportation Committee is new for me for this year. My other two committees, state government and education, in early learning. So for education and early learning, I'm continuing on as the ranking Republican member, which is the highest ranking Republican member on that committee for K-12 education. Of course, we've had a lot of challenges with the COVID pandemic this year, but I'm a former school board member. I'm a husband to a local teacher in the Wenatchee School District, and I have two kids in middle school, so I feel like I can bring a lot of value. I can continue to do that in that role. But the Transportation Committee is something I actually requested and I'm very interested in. Our region has a lot of transportation priorities, not just new projects, but maintenance and preservation needs. There are some serious maintenance and preservation needs up in the Methow, where I know a lot of your listeners, you know, all the bridges that go up there. So we have a lot of unique challenges in our district, and I'm excited to serve on the Transportation Committee. They developed the transportation budget. I happen to have some legislation that might be going through that committee this year related to hydrogen vehicles, but just the chance to advocate for the transportation projects in our district, I think, is really important. So I'm excited that it worked out to be assigned to that committee for this year.
As you all prepare to go back to Olympia, will you actually be going to Olympia, or are things going to be virtual again?
All virtual. Well, you know, they talked about it being technically a hybrid session, which I think before this most recent rise in the COVID cases, there was maybe some options where some of us could go to Olympia and the others we'd be virtually, or we'd kind of alternate and things like that. But I think the reality is it's almost entirely going to be virtual. We've actually, as a legislature, practiced the online remote voting, that the program that we'll be using to vote remotely. So So the Senate has really had to revamp things because of that. And I have my system set up here at the house. I have a laptop, a tablet, two phones, and a second screen so I can participate in everything with all the voting and things. And sometimes I feel like I'm operating Rivercom 911 dispatch with all my screens and stuff. But it's probably a little bit like your radio station there, Jeff. But you know, I think it's going to work out. And good thing for people in this area is hopefully we can participate remotely throughout the legislative process. And maybe it's going to create even more opportunities for people from Eastern and Central Washington to participate in the process.
Senator, can you tell us what your level of frustration has been with Governor Inslee and his COVID policies?
Well, I have been frustrated. You know, I think Governor Inslee has painted things with too broad of a brush. I think he's used, basically, when it comes to, like, closing the businesses and restaurants, a real, like, blunt instrument, you know, to try to address the pandemic. We as legislators have offered a lot of suggestions, and we've asked to go back into a special session. You know, the legislature only meets part of the year based on the state constitution. The other times of the year, if we were to come back, it would require a special session. And I've signed on to multiple letters to do that. I do want to respect the governor's authorities. You know, he does have certain authorities under state law to issue executive orders during emergencies, but one of the things I would really like to do, and I know Senate Republicans are considering this, is that we don't believe that the state's Emergency Powers Act was ever intended for use in the way the governor has, you know, used it. Basically, the Emergency Powers Act is set up so that temporary declarations can be issued, but they're only for a certain duration of time. Well, what the governor has done is basically had a continuous set of top-down executive orders from Olympia now for almost 9 to 10 months. And so we would like the opportunity to revise the state's Emergency Powers Act because, you know, I don't know if we're ever going to have a pandemic like this again, but there are some things that we can learn from this to try to make some adjustments in state law so that we're able to have more of a process, more of a voice as legislators in some of the decisions that are being made. You know, the governor also represents the state. You know, he's elected statewide. But I think there's a different dynamic when you bring in the elected legislators from all areas of the district to actually share their thoughts and participate in the give and take of the legislative process. I think that's one thing that we're missing greatly with this. But also, I would really welcome a lot more local control. I think the local county commissioners and the mayors all across the state of Washington, in close collaboration with their health districts, should be able to make a lot of their decisions for the local level. That's where, you know, you wouldn't get such a broad brush approach. But I do want to say, Jeff, because I would be remiss if I didn't, I take the COVID pandemic very seriously. My family's made a lot of sacrifices to self-isolate for many, many months. My kids are across the hall from me right now getting ready for their online school. We get outside for outdoor recreation, but we wear masks, we socially distance, and we're trying to do everything we can to take the precautions that we need to so that we can all get back to normal here someday soon. And, you know, that's really what I want for people. So as we enter the holidays, regardless of everybody's political persuasion, and I'm not exactly sure why the COVID pandemic has turned into a partisan sort of debate, but I really want people to take things seriously and to protect themselves and their families, because we're with the first vaccine being distributed now and more on the way. I see the light at the end of the tunnel with this pandemic. I'm ready for 2021.
Yeah, I think we all are. We want to get 2020 in the rearview mirror as quickly as possible, I think. Going back to the emergency powers, and as you move into this session, what do you think the chances are that you'll be able to make change in regard to the emergency powers?
Well, I think actually there's support on both sides of the aisle in the House and the Senate. The challenge is if Governor Inslee's still our governor at that time, and there's been some speculation that he might take a cabinet post in the Biden administration, so that would create a whole different chain of events and moving parts and pieces. But if that's the case, you know, the governor would need to sign that in order for a revision of the state's Emergency Powers Act to become law. The governor will need to sign it, and I'm not sure if he would sign that or veto that, if he would see that as us undermining his authority. But I think we need to be really thoughtful, and it's not about Governor Inslee, it's about our state and every future governor that is put in that position. I think we can learn from the challenges that we've experienced this past year and try to make the laws a little bit better for future years, so that if any future governor is in this situation, even if it's 25 years from now, that future governor will maybe have the ability to have a more shared collaborative approach with all the legislators when they, you know, issue these orders. Or if they're going to issue orders, you can't issue a continuous set of orders or issue another one when one expires, that you would have to, after a certain amount of time, say after 30 days or 45 days, you can issue these executive orders, but after 30 days or 45 days, you would need to come back and call the legislature into session for approval of anything beyond 30 or 45 days. I think a little reform like that, you know, could have gone a long ways this past year.
Oh, man. Lots of great information there. Senator Brad Hawkins, again, with the fourth annual listening tour underway today, again, at 3 and 7. And again, find the information at senatorbradhawkins.org. Any final thoughts you'd like to share this morning?
Well, it's a tremendous honor to serve as our district state senator. Part of the reason I do the listening tour is because I want to represent everybody in the district. And I do want to hear from people. But if they can't participate today, we work year round on your behalf, so feel free to reach out to my office either by email or phone calls or letters, because we want to do the best job we can serving you, and that's in every area of the district, all across the political spectrum. I take my job seriously to represent everybody, so I encourage everybody to contact us if they have any thoughts, concerns, or questions about state government.
All right. Best of luck with your listening tour today, and we'll look forward, once you get into session in January, we'll look forward to your weekly updates here on KOZI.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thank you. Senator Brad Hawkins making a community connection with us this morning.